Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and our guest this morning is State Senator James Maroney of Milford. He's joining us to talk about the issue of AI. And let's just say that artificial intelligence definitely dominated the news cycle a lot in 2024, and it will be in 2025. So as we transition into the new year, I think it's important to talk about how AI is going to be discussed in Connecticut at the legislature, as the legislature returns and the legislative session begins. Good morning, Senator. Welcome onto the show.
Morgan, thank you so much for having me.
You know, as I had mentioned, AI has definitely been a big focus in the news this past year, and it's not going to end as far as the discussions go anytime soon. I know that in Connecticut there have been a number of efforts to get this to the state capitol and get a bill passed, but there's a lot to talk about here. And if you could just give us kind of a picture of where we are at the turn of this new year with the AI issue in Connecticut and nationally.
Yeah, so we're coming up on the new legislative session, which starts on January 8th. And once again, the Senate Democrats will be putting forward a caucus priority bill regarding, you know, a few things. One is the regulation of AI and making sure that it's safe and that people test products before they use them to make important decisions about your life. Two, making sure we're criminalizing the use of AI to create deep fake revenge porn or non-consensual intimate images. I think everyone heard of it when it happened to Taylor Swift. But there was a 60 Minutes special the other week. It's happening to middle school girls. It's happening to high school girls. It's happening in Connecticut, right? It's not just in New Jersey and other places. It's happening right here. And so it is something we want to make sure that we are doing what we can to protect our, this disproportionately happens to high school girls, but to protect our students from those harms. But we also want to look at making sure that we have the skills that are needed. And we are looking, we created a Connecticut Online AI Academy, and we want to expand the opportunities and the training opportunities available to Connecticut residents through that, as well as looking at ways to incentivize the use of AI in industries and for good. And we know that there are so many positive opportunities in healthcare. There is a company in Connecticut that's created a wearable that can do stroke detection. So with a stroke, every moment matters. They're using AI for detecting heart problems. And there's so many ways that it can help improve the way we live, help us keep us healthier, live longer and more fully. And we know we have a an aging population and a declining workforce. We're going to need to be using AI more to allow people to live in their homes and to provide them with care. And so last year in the budget, we were able to get some money to create algorithms to help reduce health inequities. And so we're trying to follow up on that. So this year, what we did is we worked with Yale University to create a Connecticut Health AI Olympics. And so we want to find other ways to incentivize creating new AI businesses in Connecticut, but also focusing them on AI for good, as we say, trying to improve our lives.
There's definitely so many places where we could take this conversation. And I'm glad that you mentioned the legislative session that we went through in 2024, because I can recall a conversation I had with you, Senator Maroney, I believe it was in late 2023, maybe the fall of 2023, about legislative priorities concerning AI for 2024. And the bill that would have put in a number of safeguards for AI did not make it through in Connecticut, but here we are in 2025, and we're trying that angle again in the state. So with this extra year that you guys have had to kind of think about the issue, look at the issue, and wonder how, you know, we could get something in place here in Connecticut, what have you learned, what have your colleagues learned that you think will help shape this AI bill, perhaps better than with the information we had almost a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah, and so this is something, as you mentioned, I've been working on data privacy legislation, and data is the foundation of AI. But since 2020, we passed our bill in 2022, and I've been working specifically on the AI legislation since that end of 2022. We created our first task force to look at AI and regulating government use, which we did in 2023. We created another task force to look at private industry use. We did not pass the bill in 2024. One of the pushbacks we received was that there were some people who didn't want to be, for whatever reason, they said they did not want us to be the first state in the nation to do this. And we no longer will be. I worked with Senator Rodriguez from Colorado, and Colorado passed the bill. It was signed into law by their governor, Jared Polis, and they are working on a task force now in case there are changes they need to make. And I'm regularly communicating with Senator Rodriguez so we can take some of those lessons learned. Minnesota passed a data privacy bill that regulates automated decision-making and AI for important decisions. Illinois passed a bill to make it illegal to use in employment situations to discriminate using AI. And California had some data transparency and other measures that were passed. So now we would be perhaps the fifth state. I think there are several other states who will likely pass it before we get to the end of our session. Our session goes a little later than some of the other sessions. In Virginia, Delegate Maldonado has been working on a bill that's very similar that was recommended by, they have a committee called the JCOTS, the Joint Committee on Technology. And so their bill will be raised. Representative Capriglione has put out his model legislation in Texas. And then I expect another dozen or so states to run bills that'll be very similar to the Colorado bill that had passed, which, you know, again, we had aligned our Connecticut bill with and we're working together on. So I think that's one of the things that this will no longer be the first in the nation. So we're working together with states, with surrounding states. So a number of states will be running similar bills. And then we've been learning and refining definitions. A lot of the pushback we receive is, for instance, one of the things people will come into the Colorado AI Task Force, and it's the different companies that provide incentives, financial incentives or rewards points. And rewards points aren't at all intended to be drawn in to this bill. And so we're working on language to make it clear that they're not, right? We have concerns around lending because there are examples of where AI has discriminated in lending. In October, Lehigh University released a paper, and they did a study where they used ChatGPT to make mortgage decisions. And what they found out was that if you had a 640 credit score and you were white, you had a 95% chance of being approved for your mortgage. If you had a 640 credit score and you weren't Black, you had only an 80% chance of getting approved for your mortgage. And so, the machine learning, it picks up the world the way it is, and we know there are biases, so it just perpetuates those biases. And that's all we want to do, is make sure that we're taking a second to stop, test things, and so we're not perpetuating those biases. And, you know, sometimes people will say, well, what's the discrimination? What's the difference if a person discriminates versus an AI discriminates? And there's several differences. One, we can test it to know if an AI is discriminating. And more importantly, we can then fix it once we know that it is discriminating. And two, the scale. ChatGPT went to 100 million people in less than 3 months. Threads went to 100 million people in 5 days. So it's the ability to automate and discriminate on scale that we want to make sure that we're not doing, that we're being thoughtful. And again, these disparate impacts affect everyone. There's a lawsuit that was settled with iTutor that was using an algorithm for hiring. If you were over 55 and a woman, you were not hired. If you were over 60 and a man, you were not hired. And so, again, we're not saying not to use AI. I'm one of the people, I believe in the potential, and I want to make sure we're seeing the full potential. We're just saying, like with other products, like my grandparents manufactured toggle switches, they had to test them to be sure they were safe before they sent them out. We just want people to test something before they use it to make an important decision about where you live, your housing, your mortgage, your whether or not you get an apartment rental, whether or not you get a job. In those important life decisions, we want to know that it's been vetted and it's safe.
One of the other things that I have heard a number of times, Senator, by the way, for those of you just joining us on Face Connecticut, I'm Morgan Cunningham, and our guest is Senator James Maroney from Milford, Connecticut. Senator, the other thing that I hear often is, well, if the federal government's not going to take the lead on this, why should we? That kind of sentiment. But there's also the concern that if individual states don't do something about AI and try to address some unintended consequences with the technology, that ultimately people are going to be paying the price. What are your thoughts on that issue?
Yeah, I think that, you know, look, ideally it would be a federal solution, but let's be realistic. Ideally, data privacy would be a federal solution, but we passed a bill that was signed by the governor in 2022. And we were the fifth state to do data privacy. The federal government, the last major comprehensive data privacy bill they passed was in 1998, COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. And so they've been trying for more comprehensive data privacy since 2001, and they haven't passed it. So I think that while we would all like to see that happen, it is unlikely to happen. And many legislators from around the country, we feel that social media got away from us, and we've seen other technologies get away from us. And we want to make sure that we're acting earlier. And we see that as the way to act earlier is through the states. But we also recognize the argument against the patchwork, and that's why we've been working together. We've created a working group representing, you know, legislators from 47 out of the 50 states, both parties. We've been meeting twice a month with regular calls, some where we just talk with each other to run ideas by each other, some where we bring in experts to present to us. And, you know, we are committed to trying to keep consistent definitions and work together on this. And I would expect to see a dozen or so states running something similar to what we run in Connecticut.
Are you noticing that there seems to be a lot of concern about AI and its uses, not necessarily just here in Connecticut, but around the country? In this past year, especially at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of worry about what AI could do, what it could replace. In some instances, you do see where maybe you're reading content online and it will say AI-generated image or something along those lines. It might be disclosed whether it has to be or not. And it just seems to be that there's some malaise among people that AI is not the direction to be going. Do you have any intelligence, any feeling on that?
Yeah, no, I think that people want to feel safe and they want to know it's vetted. I think one of the first steps is transparency. And you mentioned knowing when you're interacting with AI or if something was created by AI. Utah actually passed a law back in May, and it is required in Utah that, you know, if you're interacting with a chatbot and it's an AI chatbot, they let you know that. I think that, you know, in all different surveys, we're seeing that people don't yet feel safe with AI. I was at a conference where a woman named Angie Moore, who's part of this group called Heartland Forward that does economic development work in the 20 Heartland states, did a survey, and what they found is 95% of their respondents want the government to regulate AI. Pew Research, last year they do an annual survey on AI, attitudes towards AI, and last year, in their survey, 67% of the people thought the government wasn't going to go far enough in regulating AI. And that's consumers, but also businesses want regulations. There's a Boston Consulting Group did a survey in January of this year, and 62% of the businesses said they were holding off on fully adopting AI until there were clearer government regulations on what they can do and what they can't do. They want clear guardrails and red lines to know what can be done. So I think that until we feel safer, we're not going to see full adoption.
It's Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5, WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. You mentioned this a little earlier in our conversation, Senator Maroney, my guest this morning on Face Connecticut, about deepfake porn and deepfakes in general. It doesn't have to be porn and it doesn't have to be nudity.
Right. And there are lots of instances of forgeries. And so digital forgery or using deepfakes. And so there was a lot of concern in the elections. And I believe, you know, Representative Blumenthal, I'm hoping, will run a bill this coming year on the deepfakes in elections through their GAE committee. And, you know, there were harms around the world on using deepfakes. And actually, I think in one country, they put a video out of someone saying he would raise the cost of beer or something that harmed him, right? But there's an example where someone released audio of a principal, I think it was in Maryland, saying racist things that it turned out and that he hadn't said those. It was a disgruntled employee. So there are concerns about all different types of deepfakes, right? Whether it's in elections, the non-consensual intimate images, or you know, in that instance where you're trying to misrepresent what someone is saying or doing. So, you know, we have to look at this in a few ways. One is obviously if you're doing it with the intent to harm someone, that should be a crime, criminalizing that. But two, how do we make it so people can trust what they're seeing or hearing or reading? And so we do need to look at some content authenticity requirements as well.
Also talking about workforce development and training, which we have touched on a little bit to this point, one thing that I find interesting doing some reading here, about half of gateway jobs, entry jobs, are being automated by generative AI. That is problematic. Where do people start if careers are just handled by a computer?
Yeah, and that's my concern. And, you know, there's a saying that AI is not going to take your job. Someone who knows how to use AI is going to take your job. But my friend from Virginia, Delegate Michelle Maldonado, likes to point out that's not necessarily true. There are jobs that are going to be lost. And a lot of the jobs that are lost are those gateway jobs, but there are also jobs that are typically done by women and very often women of color. And actually in the Jobs for the Future presentation where they showed that 50% of gateway jobs were at risk of being automated, they said that 38% of women are in jobs that are at risk of being automated by AI, whereas only 20% of men are. And so we need to be very thoughtful and intentional with how we're providing retraining opportunities and make sure we're reaching out to as many of our residents as possible. So we're creating the Connecticut Online AI Academy, and thanks to David Ferreira from from Charter Oak State College, who's been working very hard at that, and that should launch very soon. I'm excited. But we also know the digital equity, the digital divide. In Connecticut, they did a survey, 27% of families aren't connected to high-speed internet. And so 36% failed basic digital literacy. So this really has to be a stepped approach. We need people to be digitally literate, then AI literate, AI proficient, and then an AI practitioner. And so we need to provide training opportunities at a variety of ways in a variety of levels and reach out to people in a number of different ways, because it's important that we give everyone the opportunity to succeed in this modern economy.
What about people who need to be retrained? These are people who have already been in an industry. These are people who are already in a particular workforce, and they're trying to deal with this AI reality. But, you know, it's difficult to go back to school again, especially the older you get. Could you talk a little bit about retraining and, again, finding those skills for people who are already in a field and maybe they're going to be displaced?
Yeah, so we need to offer online retraining opportunities with certification so people can have that on their resume, so when they're looking for a new job. And, you know, as you mentioned, I am very concerned about older workers. You look at every year Microsoft LinkedIn releases their annual hiring survey, and this year 66% of companies said they wouldn't hire someone without generative AI skills, and that was knowledge economy companies. But you know, when we're thinking of older workers, the more scary statistic is that 72% of companies said they would take someone with less experience in generative AI skills over someone with more experience. And so we need to work through great programs, existing programs like the Platform to Employment at the Workplace, to make sure when we're doing retraining that we are also training people in generative AI skills. We need to partner with industries that are at risk of being automated to make sure that we're training their employees. And so last year, Indeed did a survey of their top 25 most common job postings, and two of them were customer service representative and administrative assistant. Again, jobs often done by women, and both gateway jobs that talented people get in and work their way up. So we need to be partnering with retailers to make sure that we're getting their employees the generative AI training, so that if they do reduce their employment count, we can, their employees can find other jobs, or they can be more, you know, move up within the organization. So we need to be very intentional and very thoughtful about how we're providing these training opportunities and reaching out to those industries. And, you know, with students, we know where we reach them. They're at school, right? How do we reach adults who may not have kids in schools, who may not have other connections? And so that's why we're hoping to partner with a lot of different nonprofit organizations and boots on the ground to find people and help them through this training.
Democratic State Senator James Maroney of Milford, my guest as we wrap up on Face Connecticut this morning, talking about AI in 2025. But as we begin and embark on the 2025 legislative session, what else should we be looking out for, whether it's AI or anything else that you're following at the state capitol?
Thank you very much, Morgan. I think that the budget is definitely going to dominate this legislative session. We know that for years we've asked a lot of organizations to sacrifice. So with, you know, the nonprofits who are providing valuable services to our most vulnerable, education, higher education. So we need to find a way to fund and provide the funding. We recognizing we do have constraints in place in the state. So I think that's going to take a while. I think that we will be looking through, you know, for me, I always want to look at early childhood education. I think that that's really the best way to improve the opportunities available to someone to make big changes is by in their trajectory of their life is by offering that high quality early childhood education. You know, the committee I co-chair is general law, which is consumer protection. So, you know, we'll be looking at the recreational cannabis. We'll be looking to see if there are any tweaks we need to make in our program. We will be looking at online gambling as well to see if we need to tighten down on advertising regulations. And then we will be looking at our data privacy. We were the fifth state. There are now 20 states who have passed it. So we need to see if we need to update our laws on data privacy. But those are some of the issues. I think that the big issue really is going to be the budget, and then, you know, looking at higher education, early childhood education, education in general.
Well, there's a lot we're going to be following. That's for sure, Senator.
Yes, it'll be a busy and hopefully productive session.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you down the line and understanding and talking a little more about what happens with AI and other issues, of course, as they come up in the 2025 legislative session. Thanks for coming on Face Connecticut this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.